Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Trae Young, that very confident, very bad man, the latest in a string and a long one this postseason of star players now affected by injury that may swing the balance of an entire series. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, hanging out, filling in for Chinea Agwumike today, who's off fulfilling her responsibilities to the Sparks. You normally hear Jason 7 to 9 Eastern here on ESPN Radio, co-host of Spain and Fitz, our neighbors to the north, despite his disdain for so many things Canadian.
No, I love Canada. I just don't like poutine.
Feels like.
Poutine's trash. The rest of Canada is beautiful. I love everything about Canada, except for, you know, what they do to French fries. It's an abomination.
I feel like it is very American of us to treat poutine as, like, their main export here, when obviously they give us many other great things, like Bat Blue.
I also don't like maple syrup, remember? So, like, there's a lot. You know, that's another Canadian thing. I'm losing the war here. But, you know, that's okay. It's okay. You got to stand for something.
The depths of your bad takes. I mean, Ryan Matlack, God love him on this show, the host of On Thin Ice on Chinea Agwumike Jr., our premier hockey coverage here, and the spokesperson for all things Canadian. Like, I just look over and he's heartbroken right now, Jason. You're just attacking him.
But the thing of it is, he's Canadian, so at the end of the day, he's still going to say thank you. You know, that's the great, he's going to be very polite about it.
Wow, Matlack, how do you feel about Fitz taking advantage of your Canada nice here?
Well, I do appreciate the insult, bud. But my goodness, don't meet your heroes. That's all I have to say, Junior.
Oh, man.
Everything about this conversation has hit me right where I feel the most.
I can say, this guy, he just attacks everyone. If there's one thing you know about Jason Fitz around here at ESPN, he's a bully. He's going to attack everyone around here. He's very mean-spirited.
Do you not like oxygen? No. I mean, what else do we hate at this point? Because anything's on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Look, I have basic standards that don't include maple syrup or poutine. Like, that's all. It's okay.
All I got to say is throw a little syrup in your next coffee.
Also, Tim Hortons totally overrated. I'm just it's just
Brian
a
Matlack
basic donut.
Out of the building right
it's
now.
It's a basic donut shop. That's all.
You've taken Matlack, the nicest person south of Christine Lisi in this entire ESPN radio building, and you've got him knocking over furniture in here now. What the hell's wrong with you?
I will say, unless Tim Hortons is a sponsor, in which case, by the way, cannot wait to have more Tim Hortons today.
You know what? Genuine Tim Hortons stan over here, willing to loudly go to bat for them. You stay away. You stay over there in your little corner of the world, your sad,
just like,
flavorless hell over
it's
there.
It's hipster Dunkin' Donuts. That's all it is. Like, I feel like I'm cool because I'm eating Dunkin' Donuts in Canada. That's all it is. And I do love Dunkin' Donuts. I'm just saying.
Go away, Jason. Chinea Agwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Make sure you don't hire people like Jason Fitz to be a part of your team there.
Wow.
Because they'll send a missile into the side of team morale there. You're hurting Matlack's feelings and all this. So
I'll bring good donuts with me.
Timbits forever.
Timbits forever, indeed. Now, here at Chinea Agwumike Jr., obviously that's always going to be deeply ingrained in our DNA, is shaming Jason Fitz and Dan Orlovsky, his counterpart in bad food takes on here. But Jason, a much more serious conversation that we've got to have right now in light of what's going on in the NBA, a league that you pointed out earlier is often championed and talked about as one of the more progressive leagues in the way that they approach a lot of issues. And yet, for the hiring now for the Portland Trail Blazers and Dallas Mavericks head coaching jobs, who respectively are expected to employ Chauncey Billups, former assistant for the Clippers, obviously former NBA point guard, and Jason Kidd in Dallas for the Mavericks, conversations around each of their past off the court have popped up here. Jason Kidd, arrested on suspicion of hitting his wife in 2001, pled guilty to spousal abuse, also had the 2012 DWI charge. And then Chauncey Billups, who settled out of court in a civil case in 1997, he was accused by a woman of raping her with a former teammate. The charges were never filed in that case. This was a civil suit that was settled out of court. So again, there's so much that we don't know. But those were brought up because this was also an offseason where we heard so much conversation around Becky Hammond, around Tyrese Witherspoon, female candidates that were maybe finally going to have a realistic shot, or what finally felt like a real shot at all of this. And Dominique Foxworth and the crew at First Take were asked if this is a bad look for the NBA, and I thought Dominique gave a very measured answer on that front.
It's a different question of whether they should get the jobs or if it's a bad look. Like, I do think it's a bad look, because particularly in Chauncey's case, he was up against Becky Hammon, and it's a particularly bad look for the NBA, which is considered the most progressive major sports league that we have, at least major men's sports league that we have in this country. And for them to and for two hires of women, of guys who have been accused of mistreating women or sexually assaulting or hitting women, for them to get hired and Becky Hammon not to get hired, I don't see how we can argue that it's not a good look.
And so, Jason, you hear Dominique, you've heard plenty of this conversation. I know for anyone that hasn't heard Spain and Fitz, you and Sarah do an unbelievable job of covering these issues, the intersection of these things, the treatment of women in sports, the message that this sends to the larger sports audience here. So when you saw these hires take place, what was your thought relative to this league?
Yeah, I feel like at some point, and you know, there's such a great point that Dominique said at the beginning, whether they're good hires or whether it's a bad look can be two very different conversations. It feels like a bad look largely because as Becky Hammon's name continually comes up, I feel like she's become, to use a comparison a lot of football fans will appreciate, she's become sort of like Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, where everybody looks at it and says, why? I mean, when you talk to players around the league, they'll tell you with Becky Hammon that she has so much respect. And it feels like there's a handful of women whose names are constantly thrown out as this is the spot, this is where, this is the person that is going to lead and break down this barrier. Right. But realistically, it feels a little like the Rooney rule now at this point, where I feel like every year the NBA trots out a couple of people and they say, look at this, we're so progressive in our thinking. But in the meantime, we're still going to hire this guy. But we almost did it. So it feels to me like it's such a step back at some point to see Chauncey Billups hired without any explanation to how they went into what they investigated, what they were able to find through this process. I think these are the sorts of things you have to anticipate as an organization. These questions are going to come. So you have to be very transparent from me and very upfront about what we discovered, what we asked about, why we're comfortable making the hire. Those are things that are reasonable questions. If you're not going to hire Becky through this process, that's fine. Like we weren't in the interview. We can't speak to why she didn't get the job. But I do think you have to have some ownership as a league to why the process continually lets these incredibly gifted and talented coaches that are women get right to the forefront of opportunity and then have the door shut in their face repeatedly.
Yeah, and this is the thing, Jason, that you mentioned there is I don't understand why there are some people that push back so much to these questions being asked. I understand this isn't the first job that either Jason Kidd or Chauncey Billups has had since these instances took place. But we're also in a different time and place when it comes to the way that we hold people accountable for this. And so if you've truly grown, because so many of these people in these second chance spots that we're not against, you and I have talked plenty about the idea of second chances in sports, but it's usually talked about. And now we'd like to see it be something you earn. And so if you have grown and changed, then answering questions as to how and why shouldn't be off limits in this process when you do that, especially when it's positioned when you've had the name Becky Hammon brought in there. Because one of the other points of discomfort that comes from all of this is this idea of so many hires in sports altogether get made out of a place of being able to justify to your employer, hey, look, I stayed within the parameters of what we usually accept here. I likened it to quarterbacks earlier. You draft a 6'5 quarterback in the top five who's got all these physical abilities you think you can mold. Yeah, if it doesn't work out, you're going to be held accountable, but it's not like going and drafting the short quarterback or one who doesn't fit the normal measurables that we see in that spot. In this instance, it feels like part of this could be read as looking at it and say, all right, we know the resumes aren't exactly the same, but we're saying, or at least the subtext can read, man, it's easier to justify a man coming in who's played in this league with this on his resume, some sort of offense against women on their resume, than it would be to hire an actual woman and be the first through in something like that into what feels like an unknown for them. And that's an uncomfortable subtext that you can read from this situation if you're not given that explanation we talked about.
Also, there are certain hills I will die on 1,000 times out of 1,000. Locker rooms in general are far, far more progressive than fans think. And, you know, for any fan that listens to it and says, well, they don't want to hire a woman to lead an organization, I can't find anybody with experience around locker rooms that echoes that sentiment and in the current culture.
And that's why a lot of people are looking at Damian Lillard right now. As we talk about the Chauncey Billups hire, Damian Lillard tweeting at someone who was responding to him last night saying that he wasn't aware of these allegations against Chauncey Billups. He said he didn't read these things when he was 7 or 8 years old. But we know with all the influence that NBA players that we talk about around this league, especially when it comes to a guy that people said, you know, he was going to have input on this job, is given this his approval. This is part of what comes with that. And you've seen people pushing back a little bit on someone who's been as beloved as he has been for so long in Portland. So a lot wrapped up in this situation. And again, I don't think asking any of these questions is unfair in this current context. But coming up next, been looking around this NBA postseason. We get ready for a game tonight where Chris Paul could finally punch his ticket to get over the top at the expense of the Clippers here for the first time. And I'll tell you why, for some reason this postseason, I'm not ready to lay that all at the feet of Paul George yet again. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, filling in for Chanae today. What are you laughing at now, Jason? What the
hell's
wrong with
you? I just love, like, right as we're about to go to air, I just throw some random takeout, just, and the look on your face is always like, I just kicked you in the no-no places and I'm trying to run away from you. So well, there you go.
I was going to say, this is like, for years I watched this happen, our friends over at the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. For years, coming back here, the show off air where Stu Gotts is just spewing takes at everyone here. And I've got Jason. We're getting ready to come back on air. We're trying to figure out which sound we're going to play here. And I want to play DeAndre Ayton because I think this Suns team, like a lot of other teams that have been touched by Chris Paul, all end up coming back to the same point about him. And it's a fascinating reminder. There are certain things that you can always tell when a player is lying to you in sports or when a player is trying to hide something here. But DeAndre Ayton has touched on one of these things that you cannot fake. And I thought this was really compelling given what the Suns are on the cusp of right now. They got a 3-1 lead on the Clippers. They got a chance to go to the NBA Finals. Chris Paul is on the cusp of something that is so close to him and that probably shouldn't define him when you hear what DeAndre Ayton has to say. But as we're getting ready for that and all these legacy conversations, we're getting ready to come back to air here. And Jason Fitz just looks over at me and we're talking about the things that he said, slandering Tim Hortons, that the rest of us all love here in favor of Dunkin' Donuts. And then Jason, right before he comes back on air, goes, well, yeah, but I mean, I like Dunkin' Donuts more than I like Krispy Kreme, so...
Yeah, I like cake donuts. Cake donuts are better than yeast donuts. This isn't even close for me.
It's just, again, you just walk around here just leaving these little landmines for the rest of us to step on here in your wake. You're a madman.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts is far superior to Krispy Kreme. Like, when I see the hot sign on Krispy, I just keep going. When I get a double chocolate Dunkin' Donut, oh, give me 12 of them every Sunday while I watch the Raiders lose.
Again, in this world, if in this lifetime you're looking for a true North Star of what to guide you here, you just walk in the opposite direction of what ever sort of culinary take Jason Fitz or Dan Orlovsky have thrown out into the ether.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm just trying to help you evolve a little bit. I'm just, you know.
You know what, but Jason, you know what? I'll tell you. I feel like I have evolved, actually, this postseason in the NBA. Because normally I look at these things and we look at how we have these legacy conversations. It's sports talk. We all, like, catch the gas bag bug every once in a while. And Paul George was such an easy place to go because the guy gave himself a nickname. And that's the worst thing you can do in any walk of life. And when he did this playoff P nickname, we got to take aim at him anytime we want to. And I was talking about this stat all earlier on in the postseason. Paul George had, at the time, 10 career games shooting under 25% in the postseason. It's the third most in NBA history. He added an 11th to that in Game 4 when they went down in this series. Paul George, who without Kawhi Leonard, going back to the Western Conference semis, where he finished off the Utah Jazz very well, now added an 11th to that in this series. And I looked at it completely differently now. And I don't know, Jason, if it's because of the run that he's been on here. So many 25 and 10 games for this team that I can't even count anymore. Or the way that he's talked about it after these games, where it sounds like a guy, when he was asked about the playoff P thing, who really seemed to be trying to distance himself from something that a much younger Chris Paul said. I just can't find myself, even now, willing to blame any of what happens here on Paul George's failings as a player.
I think that has less to do with Paul George and more to do with the rest of what you're seeing throughout the course of the NBA playoffs. I mean, we right now are used to, at this stage of the playoffs, knowing when you turn on a game, you're going to get a certain guy that's going to absolutely go off and they're going to be the difference in the game. That has been absolutely unpredictable. We've been in a playoff year where you've seen, even as we speak now, I mean, Chris Middleton was awful in Game 7 against the Nets that I alluded to earlier, but then Chris Middleton last night outscored the Hawks by himself in the fourth quarter. You see Giannis absolutely airball these moments. You see Paul George miss a couple of free throws one game and then absolutely make huge shots the next. Like, this has been such a maddeningly inconsistent playoffs that I think what we've ended up with is, looking at the body of work of so many players, it just feels like there isn't Mr. Reliable right now, so we have a little bit more forgiveness to all of them.
It's a great point, because it has felt like an inconsistent ground underneath us during the course of this playoff. The one thing that does feel consistent, though, now, and this has been fascinating as we look for what to latch on to here, Chris Paul, while he's in a different uniform yet again, has been someone we've been familiar with, someone we talked about as potentially a top five point guard. This championship that they're on the cusp of, and they got a chance tonight, we'll talk to Doris Burke, who's going to be on the call for a game five that they have the potential to put on ice. But hearing the way his teammates talk about it, this is DeAndre Ayton, 22-year-old center for the Suns, part of that 2018 draft class that's looking better and better, who looked like he was trending bust for a long time, talking about what Chris Paul meant to him. That should remind us why this championship should only mean so much for CP3.
Oh, I love CP, man. That's really the only teammate that really pushed me, like big bro type push, knowing what I got and that I never thought that I had. I think he was the best thing that happened to my career. You know, I can say that every day. C is really a dude who pays attention to detail. It's not how he said, it's what he's saying. You know, I think it was, most people don't get, you know, it's just a message for real. And he cares so much. It's actually crazy. I never knew a guy could, you know, care so much about basketball and compete at everything. And, you know, it's contagious. And, you know, that's what it built in me as well. And, you know, just having him as a teammate and the experiences that he's went through and teaching me the little things has helped me, man, and it is working.
And Jason, when things sound familiar, we tend to understand them a little better. Like the way I've heard Lewis Riddick talk about playing for Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, though my personal experience, Harry Hiestand was my offensive line coach my last year, O-line coach for the Bears, a number of colleges. I think he's the best, one of the best to ever do it. All of that sounds like what we hear from all these all-time greats. And it sounds like if you let Ayton go on for 45 minutes, he would have. And that's an impact that's just as indicative of what Chris Paul's been able to do as anything he does on the court.
Also, when you have athletes that are sort of spewing out what we're used to as just redundant takes, you have to listen to how they say it. There's an authenticity to his tone and a genuineness to the way he delivers everything he just said that you can feel. I don't believe he's an actor, so
no,
you can feel that.
You can't lie the things that he just said there. You wouldn't, as a player, as someone affiliated with a coach or a teammate, lie about the things that he said. So that's the impact that Chris Paul has had on this team. What's the impact that he's going to have tonight? What can we expect in this do-or-die game for the Los Angeles Clippers? We'll ask Doris Burke next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hey, Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 5 as the Suns host the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. That's coming up after Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, who will be pulling double duty here over on Spain and Fitz after this, starting at 7 o'clock, taking you up to that 8:30 coverage.
Shameless promotion, not only listen to Spain and Fitz, Mike, but also Sports Nation. Tomorrow morning when you get on the ESPN app, I'll be hanging out there too. Big, big day, triple hitter.
Because Jason Fitz can never physically stop working. Just not a part of his body.
And most of the people here still don't know who I am. The security, you know, it's just, I walk in and they're like, hey, when the host gets here, let us know. That's what happens.
Get asked to hold something like that. Well, that is not an issue, certainly, for our next guest as we go to the Goodyear Hotline right now to talk to Hall of Famer Doris Burke, who will be on the call on ESPN Radio tonight for Game 5 in the Western Conference Finals. And Doris, we just played a clip, and thank you so much for giving us some time today. We just played a clip with DeAndre Ayton talking so glowingly about what Chris Paul has meant to this team. So looking at the opportunity here tonight, how far does a win here go for Chris Paul, a trip to the NBA Finals and an opportunity to capitalize on what's evaded him so far during his career?
Well, an 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA for a 10-year stretch, I thought he was the best point guard in the league, and I thought that was by a wide margin. His ability to control tempo, manipulate situations, listen, I think this would be incredible for Chris. And anyone who knows him or is in his orbit knows, he said this before, it's actually painful for him when he's away from the game. Like, this guy lives it. He breathes it. We make a big deal out of the fact that LeBron is the first guy, or LeBron talks about spending seven figures on his body every year. I think Chris Paul was probably the first one to do that. And, you know, the fact that he's been a mentor for some young guys, he told me a year ago that one of the first things he tells rookies is hire a chef. There is nothing more important that you will do in terms of taking care of your body and something that would affect you all day, every day, hire a chef. So I think when you look at his overall impact, you know, the level of play he's brought for so many years, the mentor he has tried to be for some of the younger guys, the heartbreaks he has had, I really can't imagine what Chris would feel tonight or in the next three games if they're able to seal it, Mike, because it's just somebody who's given his life to the game.
Doris, it's been incredible to watch this Phoenix team, but when we, you know, I rewind in my mind as we came into the playoffs, I don't know that they were getting as much love as they should have been given. What did so many of us miss about this team?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I would count myself guilty probably among it. I mean, I was watching them throughout the course of the year, but I think, you know, Jason, until you see them win it at the most important win in the most important time of the season, it's very natural for us to have those sort of biases. You see it with our attitude toward the Milwaukee Bucks, right? We saw them dominate two regular seasons and then fall flat in the postseason. So I don't necessarily think it's bad that we had our reservations, but they, you know, what's striking to me is you are talking about critical pieces of the puzzle going through this for the very first time. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges. And the one thing that Coach Monty Williams keeps stressing to us is that every single day from the opening of camp or from the arrival time, Jay Crowder and CP3 have both spoken consistently and constantly to the group about what this part of the season was about. So as they were preaching habits and daily commitment and, you know, not turning the ball over and taking quality shots, and the fact that DeAndre Ayton had to raise his level of focus if they were going to get where they wanted to go, it was the leadership of those veterans. And I think you'd have to go a long way back in NBA history to find a team that didn't have that voice. You know, I think of James Jones with the Miami Heat that everybody, you know, talks with such reverent tones, calling him champ. You know, I just think that's significant. And boy, I'll tell you this, you know, as close as these games have been, and this is not something that is beyond the realm of possibility given how close the games have been, the Clippers better find an answer for DeAndre Ayton, Jason. Like, they haven't done that yet.
Jan Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to the Hall of Famer Doris Burke, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio for Game 5 tonight. Doris, what's been the big difference for DeAndre Ayton, as you mentioned, the increased focus, but what's shown up on the court for him that's made him such a problem this postseason?
I think it's just the consistency with which he's doing it, Mike. We've seen a level of play that has been tantalizing from this guy in the past, really eye-popping in terms of the speed, the ability to run the floor, the vertical threat at the rim, the dominant rebounder on both ends of the floor. You know, 22 rebounds in Game 4, four block shots. You know, that's, you know, 22 rebounds is an incredible number. He's contested the most field goal attempts in the postseason, 214. Teams are shooting 32% against him in the playoffs. And in this particular series, the Clippers are shooting 29% when DeAndre Ayton is the closest defender. So listen, you know, he's earned some of the question marks that we had in terms of what he's done over the last, you know, the regular season since he's been here. But Monty Williams has said, listen, he's raised his level of focus. Not only has he sustained it, but he's brought, in fact, a different level of focus to the playoffs. And the guy is 22 years old, Mike. Like, that's a scary thing. There's still more to come. We've seen a couple of times in this series where he's had the 12 to 15 foot jump shot, looks confident, looks comfortable. You know, mechanics are great. So I just think there's more to come from this guy. That's the thing. You know, what's the ceiling?
Doris, obviously being down two games is not a big deal for the Clippers. I know 3-1's different than 2-0, but it's been something we've seen repeatedly throughout the course of the playoffs. Obviously, these games, as you mentioned earlier, have been so close over the course of the first few games. How does that help realistically in this series for the Clippers trying to just stay calm and get through this deficit?
Yeah, I think you look directly to Ty Lue, who's not a guy to overreact in any circumstance. And his record when he's faced elimination is solid. And so, you know, I think it's both a physical and a mental challenge right now for the Clippers. You know, Paul George has played the most minutes in the playoffs, and he's done so by a wide margin. The next closest player has played 100 fewer minutes than Paul. He's got the most touches, the second most drives. And listen, I know everybody wants to jump on him, and he's earned some of the criticism, you know, the missed opportunities to go ahead in that last game. But I do think fatigue is a factor. They have played 14 games since June 2nd. It's every other day since June 2nd. That is a month straight in the modern NBA. And you guys both know this, right? This is where we talk about minutes and guys taking nights off periodically. You can debate whether that's right or wrong, but those are facts. And so, you know, this is probably the longest stretch in a very long time for Paul George to have played without taking a game off. So I do think fatigue's a factor. I think what you have to see is there a moment where the team breaks. Like if Phoenix can put enough pressure on him in the second half tonight, if Phoenix can get a double-digit lead and then maybe to push it to 15, you both know this. What's the will to survive if you're the Los Angeles Clippers?
And we'll see that on display tonight as, again, the Phoenix Suns have a chance to punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. Doris Burke, Mark Jones going to be on the call on ESPN Radio coverage starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Doris, thank you so much. Have a great call tonight. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Doris.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Doris Burke, the Hall of Famer, with us there. Doris is so good at the including us in this, like we're at all equal participants in the basketball conversation with her. The guys, you know this, addressing us both by name. Like, no, Doris, you know more about this than either of us will ever hope to learn in a lifetime here. So thank you for just treating us at all. Like you said, if we all walk into a building, we are being asked to hold the things in there to get set up on stage while they mic up Doris Burke and get her ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, Mike. Let's just be real. Every time she says my name, I'm like, wow, Doris Burke knows my name. Like,
yeah,
there's this level. I'm always like, that's pretty dang cool.
Like I say, at some point, we'll feel like maybe we have like arrived here, or we're solidified here. But that's probably not anytime soon because I have the same reaction. It's like, no. Oh, man, Doris remembered. Like, that's incredible here. I know we all work at the same place, but there are levels to this. Doris is on the higher one.
Working at the same place is a lot like high school. You can all go to the same high school. It doesn't mean we're all sitting at the same table for lunch. I'm just saying, like, there are certain people that eat, you know, rightfully so at the cool kids table, and I'm not there.
I remember I told this story on air last week, but I was driving home from a Thursday night college football game I was calling last year, and I think there was an NBA game going on at some point in the bubble there in the postseason, and Doris was on the call for that again on ESPN Radio, and I was listening for like a half hour driving home, and I text my mom. I was like, I know we're both technically doing the, you know, color analysis for these games, but it doesn't feel like her and I do the same job when I listen to the way that she does all this. So if you want to hear the masterclass in that and find out if the Clippers can respond there, 8:30 Eastern, the coverage starting for Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals right here on ESPN Radio after Jason and Sarah Spain on Spain and Fitz coming up after us. But coming up next here right now, a league that we constantly look to for guidance steps up yet again to remind us all how to get the job done. We'll tell you who that is next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Our thanks to Quentin Richardson, 13-year NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, for stopping by earlier, helping us break down more of this Giannis and Chris Middleton conversation, as well as the Hall of Famer Doris Burke, who just joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Going to be on the call for Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals at 8:30 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. And Jason, I feel like you come back from break every time with some bleep-eating grin on your face.
You just said
something slick here.
No, I mean, like, the show Canadian, super kind Ryan Matlack. I mean, Woo, he's a little fired up. You say a few things about maple syrup poutine and Tim Hortons, and all of a sudden, bam, we're getting ready for game one of the Stanley Cup final by, you know, like dropping gloves.
You know what he's doing? He's just taking these little hacks at my ankles with his stick. That's all he's doing right now.
No, I'm straight Ron Hextall in it. Like,
oh,
back
he's
in the,
chirping me.
Like,
it's
just,
bad.
Bam.
I was going to say, if you drop the gloves in them right now, Matt Lack, like, he's not going to want any parts on that. He knows better.
You're lucky this glass is here, pal.
Lose for you. I mean, you beat me up. All you did was beat up a fiddle player. You get beat up, you got beat up by a fiddle player. You got no win in that.
See, Jason Fitz today, for those keeping score at home, and I guess our thanks to Jason Fitz for filling in for Chinaig.
You're darn right.
Jason Fitz has come out here against Tim Hortons, Krispy Kreme, poutine, and cheese curds while defending the speed limit and things of that nature earlier in the show when we talked about rosin and baseball here. Jason Fitz, anti all of these wonderful things, stands up as the crackdown on sticky stuff in baseball made its way to Seattle and the Mariners here. Jason Fitz standing up and defending the letter of the law and making sure you drive under the speed limit here because he got one ticket one time for driving 3 miles over the speed limit.
Going downhill, 3 miles over, going downhill. And the cop said, you know, I pulled you over, and I said, I was going 3 miles over. What's the big deal? And he's like, 3 miles over means you were breaking the law. I took it to traffic court. And the guy said, the judge said, guilty or innocent? And I said, innocent. I was only going 3 over going downhill. And he's like, so you're innocent because you were just barely breaking the law? Bam, had to pay the ticket, Mike. Look, nobody changed the rules in Major League Baseball. They're just enforcing a 100-year-old rule. Oh, man.
They're enforcing it like they always have, inconsistently here. Jason, I used to get parking tickets all the time for parking by the tennis courts at Notre Dame when I wanted to go to the football facility. They'd spend the first 3 months of the semester not ticketing anybody here. And so we thought, all right, clearly you don't mean this rule. Then you want to hit me with it down the stretch of the semester here. It's like, which side are you on right now? Does this rule exist, or does it only exist sometimes when you got to pay the bills?
Do you or do you not at local establishments here not pay the parking just to take the chance to see if they're going to get you the ticket?
Well, yeah, I mean, because if I go for 6 months without having to pay it and then I get knocked with one here, I just amortize it over the 6 months and all of a sudden I'm paying pennies on the dollar. Yeah, what I'd be playing. Stay woke, guys. Mm-hmm. Open your third eye a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying maybe you're the problem, a rule breaker.
Or maybe I'm on to something here. Let's try and get away from Jason Fitz and his strange little circular finger motion and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And how about this for a better life, Jason? The WNBA put out a statement earlier today. It said, since the start of the regular season, zero new players have returned a confirmed positive test for COVID-19. In addition, 99% of the league's players are now fully vaccinated, and all 12 teams have met the threshold of being considered a fully vaccinated team. And Jason, the 144 of the WNBA, usually leaders on a lot of fronts here, so this shouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, and incredible here because they all came together, they made this determination, and now they're all able to compete evenly and equally, something that not everybody else will be able to say. We've talked about the College World Series, the what it'll mean for the NFL, for college football. I mean, there are going to be vaccination rules that will have to be followed, and if you choose as an individual to not follow it, your team will have to pay consequence for it. That's not an easy situation for anybody to be in. WNBA doesn't have to worry about any of that.
Exactly. They get to worry about the normal things that come along with this. Injury, certainly part of normal seasons in the WNBA, but Jason, keeping that same energy as Diana Taurasi has dealt with that some during this season here. She made her long-awaited return and in the process became the first player to reach 9,000 career points on Sunday in a game against Chinay's Los Angeles Sparks with 8 minutes and 23 seconds left in the second quarter. An unbelievable landmark for someone. I mean, hell, I grew up in the Northeast in UConn country, so Diana Taurasi has been a Mount Rushmore name of sports fandom up here, and she adds to an already incredible legacy.
There are certain phrases that are used too much in sports. GOAT is one of them. I think we should make it be more earned than that. We just throw GOAT around flippantly. But when I think GOAT, I think Diana Taurasi. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Not only GOAT, but you talk about what she's meant for the game and what she continues to mean for the game, and she's still going strong. Like, it's impressive.
I can say 39 years old in that one, and obviously we are a very pro-Spark show out here. But I mean, if someone is going to accomplish something and, you know, win in the process here, we are certainly happy for Diana.
I mean, the Vegas Aces won last night, too. We can talk about that, too.
No, this is an LA Spark show, and you can take your Vegas Aces stuff over to Spain and Fitz, which is coming up next, that you are doing in addition to Sports Nation tonight. Jason Fitz is going to be all over your TV and radio here, as is Game 5 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. Stick around here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.